Hello, welcome to the XX Mormon podcast. I am conducting as Heavenly Mother. With us as our guest speaker, also presiding over us, is Elder Sister. Thank you for being here, Elder Sister.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Also, again, for the 80 millionth time, Heavenly Mother is sick per normal. So if I cough, I'm probably going to mute myself because it's like deafening. So.
You're good.
I'll make your ears ring. But you had a lovely topic for us today that I thought, why not get into it? So it's kind of like a catch-up episode, and you'd found some really good questions from Instagram. So feel free to read those questions, and then we'll answer and discuss. And listeners, answer in your own mind or in a journal or wherever you want to answer that in your heart. So feel free, go for it.
Awesome. Awesome. So yeah, I follow this Instagram page. It's called Post Mormon Coaching. It's this woman who she used to be Mormon, but she's like a therapist and a counselor and a psychologist. And so she just posts like these really good, like thought-provoking questions and these really good like posts and stuff. And there's a lot of interaction. And so I saw one the other day and I thought it was like a really good question. And we can just kind of talk about like how we're moving on and stuff and like how things are going. Because I feel like that's really helpful for me is hearing how other people are like coping with like leaving a high demand religion and stuff. That's what she posts a lot of stuff about that. So I figured we could maybe cover that. So the question that I first saw was, what have you especially appreciated about your life since stepping away from the LDS church or another high demanding religion? So I don't know if you have any thoughts.
I always have thoughts. I said to Elder Sister before we recorded, I was like, you could name any topic and I will have thoughts on the matter. Like, that's just as a person, I can't stop. And what do I appreciate most? That is hard to answer because it's literally everything. Like, I've been thinking about it for a while and I'm like, I'll just wing it because I don't have a specific. What I appreciate most, it sounds corny, but hear me out. Hear me out, little listeners. My life is my own now. And when I was in the church, my life belonged to the church. And when you're deep inside, but I don't think our listeners are deep, 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 deep in the church anymore. I think you're either out or on your way. You don't know it when you're deep inside the church because you're told that it's your choice. But your life really is centered around the church. Like, decisions that you make, you're always thinking about the church, like it's an entity, like its opinion on the matter. Always feeling guilty for stuff I don't need to feel guilty for. If I don't read the scriptures every day, I don't feel bad. If I don't pay tithing, I don't feel bad. The concept of sin is a choose your own adventure instead of these random things being sinful that aren't actually bad for anyone. So I think having my life be my own and my own choices, like it's really common for us to record on a Sunday. And that was like an inconceivable concept when I was in the church because Sundays were about going to church and going to meetings and taking a nap because you'd be so emotionally exhausted. So that's my answer. You go for it, Elder Sister.
No, I love that so much. That was a lot of comments that I saw on this Instagram post were like that, just that my life is now my own. I specifically, the first thing that I thought of was like my Sundays are like free. Like I had thought about it, all of my Sundays were kind of taken from me for like the first 23 years of my life. Like I wasn't doing anything other than church. And then, like you said, taking a nap and then family time, which is great. Like some of those things are great, but like Sundays were never my own. They always belonged to the church. They always belonged to what my parents wanted me to do. And we would go through like weird phases of like not watching TV on Sundays and like doing like certain scripture study for like a long period of time and stuff. And so it was just, I just, Sundays were like my least favorite day, like if I could have been totally honest. But now my husband and I have kind of claimed it as like our day to do whatever we want because we both are super busy. we both have really busy jobs. He's still a student. And so our weeks are just crazy. And I feel like Saturdays are crazy too, because we have family who wants to see us. We have like sporting games for my little sister and cousins that are doing things that we want to go see. And so Saturdays are always super busy. But Sundays, when both of our families are going to church, we're like, we're just going to do whatever we want. If we want to go skiing today, let's go skiing. If we want to record a podcast episode, like, let's do it. Like, Sundays have just become kind of our day to be together and to do things just as us two. And so it's been really cool. So that's one thing that I've like really, really appreciated about stepping away, is just having that extra day in my week to do what I want to do.
Word, I absolutely love that. And I didn't think at the time that I was in the church, even when I was peeling away, because it was a very long process, as everybody's heard. Well, if you haven't heard it, feel free to listen to an older episode where Heavenly Mother comes on the scene. I didn't think, because everyone, all these ex-Mormons would say, you're going to have time to read and do stuff that you really want to do. And when I was deep in the church or freshly leaving or slowly peeling away, I would think to myself, no, I mean, it doesn't take up that much of my time. I do have time to do a lot of things. No, when you're all the way really out, you do see how much time it did take away from you and how much time you actually have to do what you want. Like, I remember being guilty all the time for not reading my scriptures, not spending more time, and like having that guilt gone is so nice. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't have to feel bad. If I want to fall asleep just scrolling through TikToks, I can, you know, like there's no there isn't anything telling me not to. There aren't rules. But I concur. Mm-hmm. I love, to me, Sunday is another Saturday, as it should be, right? It's just,
yeah.
Like, oh my God, today, and I wish I could share pictures. Maybe one day I will. I make little wreaths per holiday. And
cute.
I use the first season. So I made a Valentine's Day wreath last month, and it's really cute. And today I'm going to make a St. Patrick's Day.
That's so cute. I love that. That's such a good Sunday. Yeah, I love that. Just being able to do things. My husband and I have really gotten into like movies recently. And we have this little like scratch off movie chart that like before we left the church, we probably wouldn't have watched half of the movies on that chart just because they're rated R or they have like one nudity scene or something like that. Like just a little bit, you know, they teach you that just a little bit is super bad. And so it's been like kind of fun going through all these movies that are like super good and they're classics and like everyone talks about them. And we've been able to watch them, and it's been like so fun for us to like not have any guilt, not feel like, oh, should we turn this off? Like, it's maybe not the best, even though both of us are like secretly wanting to just keep watch because it's such a good movie, you know? So yeah, definitely appreciated that.
For real. Yeah. You being able to use your own discernment, because there have been movies that I've turned off because I've genuinely felt uncomfortable, not the mm-hmm. Mormon superficial uncomfortable, but like, because there's certain things depicted in film because of what I do for a living that I don't like seeing, because mm-hmm. I'm a mental health worker, so I hear a lot of people's traumas. So when I see certain traumas that are similar to reality, but yeah, it's not the Mormon uncomfortable where it's like, oh no, they're saying bad words, they're saying the Lord's name in vain, they're being critical of Christianity, you know, like,
yeah.
Stuff like that used to make me uncomfortable. And oh no, there's a sex scene. Like
uh-huh.
That stuff used to be like, oh, we should turn it off. But now it's like viewer discretion is advised. Like you actually mm-hmm. get to decide what makes you uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Let's see. Another one. Sorry. I thought of a few different reasons. So I'm just going to keep
okay,
going.
No apology necessary.
One that I thought of, and I'm going to try to explain this. It makes sense in my brain, but I don't know how it's going to come out of my mouth. I feel like I am like more supportive of my family. And here's why. So my parents are still very active in the church. My siblings are too. And my mom started working in the temple. And I beforehand, like, that would have been so great. Like, as a member, that would have been just like awesome. Like, so happy for her that she's doing this great spiritual thing. But I think honestly, like, I would have maybe just like glazed over it, you know? Like, this is just another thing that she's doing in the church and basically like another calling. And that's just what you do in the church. And so it's, yeah, it's great. But now I'm like finding, obviously, I don't agree with the temple and the things that go on in there. And I would love for her to be doing something that like is actual service, you know? But it makes her so happy, and it's like the highlight of her week when she gets to go. And she always sends us like little stories and little pictures. She always sees like one of my friends or some of our family members, and so she's always super excited to see people that she hasn't seen in a long time. And so she'll always share that with like me and my siblings, and I feel like I'm able to be more supportive because it's something that just makes her happy, and that's what I'm being supportive of. Not that, yeah. Anyways, I'm trying to think of like how to explain that, but I'm being supportive of her being happy and not necessarily like the thing that she's doing, because I don't agree with it, but it makes her happy and I can see that. And I want her to keep doing it because it makes her so happy. Does that make sense? Was all of that just like a word vomit?
And I think as ex-Mormons too, we are more supportive because when you're in the church, there is that, you know, you are your brother's keeper sort of essence vibe going mm-hmm. on. And so even if you love your family or you love your friends, we're all kind of judging each other on how Mormon we're being. But when you eliminate that, like, it truly doesn't matter mm-hmm. How, and it's expanded, I think, to other faith, because in Oklahoma there are not a lot of Mormons, but there are Christians everywhere. Christian supremacy, like, Christians are everywhere. And I'm not mm-hmm. judging how my friends are being Christian. I'm not judging how they're interpreting their faith. I'm just mm-hmm. existing. Where when you're Mormon, I think there's always that, you know, so-and-so is so spiritual, but their swimsuit was really immodest. Or do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You can fully support your family in the way that they are, exactly as they are, without a, they could be more, you know, they could be more obedient. So I could see that for sure. And yeah. What you said about, you're happy to see her be happy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's something that, like, I've honestly struggled with the past few months, is just like, can people actually be happy in the church? Because I see, like, my dad, he is so happy in the church. And I think part of that is he's never experienced anything else. And so he doesn't know, like, if he can be happy out of the church, which I guarantee he can, and probably more happy than he is now. But it's like everything for him. And same with my mom, like, it keeps them together. It keeps them like happy and loving. And for them, it's like a really good thing. And so that's been like super hard for me to like kind of grasp, is because I'm so happy out. I'm so much happier out of the church than I ever was in the church. And so in my mind, I'm like, well, everyone must experience that. Like, if everyone just left, they'd be so much happier. And I think to a degree that's true, but maybe it's fine that they're still in. Maybe it's fine that this is their happiness. Even if I don't love it, maybe that's okay. I don't know.
I like what you're saying. I'm going to use God. I can't stop it. I'm doing my job. I'm going to use some therapeutic language on you, on everyone.
I love it.
You can sign up for this if you get free therapy. The way that I talk about acceptance as a mental health worker is coming to a place of acceptance. So acceptance is not an emotion. It is a choice. It's an action, or it's a destination. It's not an emotion. So you can accept something and have the emotion of sadness. You can accept something and have the emotion of happiness. You can accept something and have the emotion of anger, disappointment, whatever other complicated feelings that you have. And it's a place because you're working towards it. You can also leave. You can leave a place of acceptance. You can say, I don't accept this anymore, and walk away from it. You can come back to it. And so I think that you are currently working towards a place of acceptance and what that looks like. Because I'm with you. Controversial. This is not a hot take at all. I don't think that people truly are happy in. And I stand on that. Mm-hmm. And I just believe that. And I think that my opinion of some people, like your parents, is they're just good people. And mm-hmm. they would be good people anywhere. If they were Muslim, they'd be the best Muslims. If they were Catholic, they'd be the awesome Catholics. If they were atheists, they'd be cool atheists. I think they're just good people. The church happens to be the avenue that they're in. But I mean, we do, as ex-Mormons, we do have to come to a place of acceptance where the people that we love might not ever leave. So that's part of my, that's my place of acceptance. But yes, I hear you, and I hot take, I don't think people are truly happy in, but I think that the happiness that they do have, I think there's genuineness in it. It's not fake happiness. I think they really are happy, but it's not like it is to be, wow, to be free from the church. That's a different. Am I even making sense?
Yes.
I'm free.
No,
I'm not in
I
talk.
think I agree with you, definitely. I think you don't recognize sometimes, because I grew up like full in the church from the day I was born, and I thought I was happy, like legitimately thought this is what happiness brings, and that's because of what I'd been taught, that this is the only thing that brings happiness. And so I was happy. Like, I did not have a sad childhood. I had things that were sad in my childhood, but overall, like growing up, it was a good life. But stepping out and realizing, oh my gosh, it's so much better out, I think that's important. And my parents may never get that, and that's, really sad for me, but it's also okay because I think they are happy to a degree. Maybe not their full potential of happiness, but for them it works. I don't know. I would love if they left, but
Word. I think you're right. And I know people do the it could always be worse thing, and I don't think that that's therapeutically helpful, but I have heard ex-Mormons say, like, it's not like the most harmful cult. You know what I mean? Like they downplay it. I'm like, I get it. This isn't Jim Jones. This isn't Waco. But I don't know if that is helpful therapeutically, though, thinking that they still, because everything could always be worse all the time. Like, that's not.
We need to recognize what's bad when it is bad, even if it's not the worst thing,
Exactly.
I
So
totally agree.
here, here, here. Anyways, you go.
Is there anything else that you've appreciated about your life since leaving? Kind of just mentioned like your life is your own. Is there anything like specific that you wanted to touch on?
Everything, essentially. It's
For real.
true. Like, I mean, something that is really huge is I no longer have a moral conflict. So when I was a member, I was like, always been this social justice warrior type of person. When you're Mormon, it's so hard because you want to support people that are marginalized, but your organization doesn't, your church doesn't. So there was always like a, but I'm not like them, or but I don't agree with this policy, or da da da. There's always this like separating my faith from the institution, which we now know as ex-Mormons that you can't do that. And now I don't have that conflict anymore. So I feel like I'm being more authentic because I can just unashamedly be against, I can just say that I'm against racism and just be against racism. Like I can say I'm against sexism and just be against sexism. Or I can be pro LGBTQ plus rights, which is an extension of sexism and misogyny. And it all kind of falls back to greed and certain colonial ideas. Every construct that we have, every problem that we have socially, you can pinpoint it to a couple of big pillars, big bullet points. So I can be against those big bullet points without having a, oh, well, but my church is, there isn't the cringe. So that's, and then also leap, and this isn't for everybody, and I love ex-Mormons that choose another faith. I think that's a power move. But for me, being an ex-Mormon also allowed me to analyze and to break down Christianity as well. So I do appreciate the fact that stepping away from Mormonism allowed me to examine world religions as a whole and to be critical of that.
I love that.
Those are my
I
favorite.
love that. I mean, that's so cool. Going back to your first point, it reminded me of a couple years ago, I went to a cabin with some of my friends, and we were all like varying degrees of like out of Mormonism. My husband and I were kind of just in the questioning phase. We were still at the point where we were wanting to stay in, but we had doubts and questions that were very real. But we had two friends who, one of them had decided not too long before that she was going to leave the church, and one of them was basically on her way out. She was just kind of working out things and like how to tell their family and stuff. And then we had two other friends who were still in the church and wanting to be in the church. And so we got talking, like a 2 a.m. talk about like the church. And I remember my one friend described it as imposter syndrome and like wanting people to be their most authentic selves and like pushing that really hard and supporting people who want to leave the church, but then feeling like she can't do that for herself. Feeling like I can tell people to be authentic and live their true lives, but I can't do that myself. Like I'm trapped. And so that's just been one thing that's been really freeing for me, is realizing that I'm no longer living that. I'm no longer, because I used to like be super pro, like live your life, like I don't care, whatever you want to do, like do that. And then for myself, I'd be like, but you can't ever think about doing that. And so it's been like really freeing for me to be able to say, I am actually living my authentic life. Like I'm actually being who I truly want to be and making decisions that I want to make and just all the things that come with that. It's been like you said, really freeing, you know? So I love that you touched on that.
Word. And I think that for people like us who were raised in the church, finding our authentic self is a little bit of a different experience. From what I've gathered talking to converts, so my parents are converts and they left the church. So that's my main source. But then I've also had guests on who were friends who were converts. It's kind of like this weird hellish fever dream of coming into the church and coming out of the church. And there's a whole lot of like dealing with the deception, and there's a return back to who you are, but you're different because you went through this experience of being Mormon. So there's definitely a reclaiming. And I think for people that are raised in the church, it's not necessarily a reclaiming. It's a rediscovery. Because I feel like my authentic self was there all along, but it was just buried underneath the church pressure and church at times persona. For example, how I prefer to speak is I like to cuss. I like to use the Lord's name in vain. And I'm not sure if that's because I couldn't for years because it was bad, or if that's how I naturally would have liked to have talked. I don't know. But I think for converts, they're able to see, hey, this was how I was before. So there's a little bit less of a rediscovery and more of like a reclaiming. You know what? I did like to cuss and I did like to drink beer and I did like to do this. I can go back to an extent. Because once you experience a church, I don't think you're ever the same. That's my opinion. Even if you get close to converting, even if you convert and don't go through the temple, even if you go through the whole everything, I think we're all so changed by experience in the church. We're all left traumatized. But yeah, that's a buzz. I don't even know what stirred that on. I don't even know, older sister, but I'm glad that I said it. Need to be said.
Yeah. No, that's so interesting. I've never thought about that before, because most of my friends who have left the church, actually, I think all of my friends they've been lifelong members. They haven't been converts. And so all of this stuff is totally new for them. Like they're leaving the church and they're like, what's alcohol? What is this? What is that? Can I say this swear word and not like get looked at weird? And so it's been like a whole new experience for most of them, and for myself as well. It's just figuring out, what do I like? What do I like because I'm like wanting to be rebellious right now in this time of life, and I'm wanting to do the complete opposite of what I've always done? And what is it that I like just because that's what I like? That's my personality, you know? So that's like really interesting. I've never thought about that. That's really cool.
Yeah, I ponder on it often. And then I think both converts and people raised in the church, one of the things that keeps them in is the, I know there's a technical term for it, I don't remember it anymore, but I'm sure on some ex-Mormon mental health experts have shared it before. But it's kind of like the, I've given up too much, so I can't leave. Like, I've done all these things. Like, the stakes are too high. I've committed too much to walk away. I just have to stay through it. And I've seen converts do that, and I've seen members of the church that were raised in the church do it. So I think that's super fascinating, because even if you've only been a convert for 5 years, if in those 5 years you served a mission, got married in the temple, your stakes are just as high as somebody that's been raised in the church in terms of what you've sacrificed. So that's crazy. So I don't envy anybody on their journey. Wherever you're a convert or you're raised in the church, it sucks. We all have to overcome, and then it's so much better on the other side.
Yes. Yeah. I saw this video. I think it was on the same Instagram that I saw this question. But I saw this video of these two ex-Mormons talking. And the one guy was like, you're taught your whole life that the outside world is so bad, and that if you leave, you're going to be miserable, and you're going to sin, and you're going to do all these bad things. And like, everything outside of the church is just bad. It's just, don't even think about it. It's so bad. But he's like, we're like the most accepting group out there. Like, come be a part of us. We want you here. We want everyone here. We want everyone to feel loved and be their authentic self. And I just love that. I thought that was so cool, because it's so true. You go from being super judgmental and super like rigid almost to being free and like accepting of everyone. And yeah, it's just really cool.
I totally hear it. I feel it. And then there is also that it's a psychological thing, but it's I think therefore I am. So the church does a lot of like phobia planting, seed planting in our little brain gardens. And one of them is like, if you leave, you're going to be miserable. So you're told that all the time, so that when you leave, you might experience depression because you've been told your whole life that you would.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, you know, watching pornography, you're going to get addicted. Telling people that leads them to addiction. Like, that's how that works. Pornography addiction is completely tied up in shame. And so if you eliminated the shame and you stopped objectifying women, pornography addiction wouldn't look like what it does, because it is an issue that only exists within high demand faiths. People in the secular world rarely struggle with it. It actually expands into a full on sex addiction, which is very different psychologically than a porn addiction. And shame is a part of all addiction. But anyways, that was a lot of psycho ed fun little nerd facties. But I do agree, like, I think therefore I am. You're told you're going to be miserable. So then we all kind of go through a phase where we a little bit are. Oh my God, I was thinking about this last night, Elder Sister. And it was just like one of the many things that I appreciate. I used to be so afraid of like demons and evil spirits. And I'm so appreciative of my life now, because my belief on the matter is totally different. And I don't think demons are out to get me because I left the church.
I love that. That's such a powerful, like, you're overcoming that. Like, that's so good. That's awesome. Yeah, I guess my follow-up question to all of that is basically just, and we kind of already talked about it, but just like, how are you coping with things? How have you kind of moved on from all of this? Yeah, any tips or anything for everyone? Just like, how to like continue moving on and keep coping and stuff like that. I don't know.
I love it. I love that you asked that question. You're such a gem. So one of them is activism about taking down the church. So like, this podcast has really helped me a lot. Also, I went the educating myself route, and I read a lot of books about cults because I needed to process what had happened to me, because a mission is very traumatic, as we've already discussed before. Preparing for a mission is traumatic, and it changes our lives in a bad way. So I read Combating Cult Mind Control by Dr. Stephen Hassan, Freedom of Mind by Dr. Stephen Hassan, Take Back Your Life by Yanya Lalich. She's an LCSW. I read Escaping Utopia by Yanya Lalich. Escaping Utopia is a book specifically for people that were raised in the church. If you were a convert, it isn't going to hit you the same way, where the other books are very convert friendly, and more so for converts, actually, I would say, but are very relevant to any member of the church. So all of those books have really helped And then I am a therapist, so I read a lot about psychology and I read a lot about tools and tips and tricks for people's mental health. I have something called the medicine wheel. Feel free to look it up. It's part of Indigenous therapy, where there's four parts of yourself and you do self-care for each part. And the spiritual self, I know, deep, get ready for this. The spiritual part of yourself is defined as your deepest non-physical needs. So when I first left the church and when I started being a guest on the podcast and then morphed into a host, evolved, like Digimon, digital, evolved like a Digimon, something really important to me was the need to be heard. I didn't need to be understood. I didn't need to be validated. I needed to be heard. My medicine wheel now, my deepest non-physical need is a need for purpose. I have to find purpose in things. And then the other parts of the medicine wheel are like self-care for your body, self-care for your mind, self-care for your emotions, and then self-care for your spirit, which is your deepest non-physical needs. Because that's what spirituality is non-physical. So take back that word, everyone, that the church ruined for us. So those things have helped. And then making new memories as an ex-Mormon has been awesome. Like, I moved into a new apartment. I got a new job as an ex-Mormon, so I had no ties to the church with memories. I went on trips as an ex-Mormon, got to have milestones. Like, I had a birthday recently, and I had alcohol. Because I am an ex-Mormon that totally leaned into all the things we weren't allowed to do. And I've that's been a positive experience for me. I've enjoyed that. Some people, it's not. You know, alcohol isn't their jam or drugs aren't their jam. Drugs aren't my jam. But I get for people that it is, and that's okay. There's no morality attached to it as long as you're not, like, I don't know, becoming a raging psycho when you do these things. But people don't. That's how I've been coping, for sure. And then connecting with a larger community as a whole, and, like, I identify as a cult survivor because a lot of Mormons don't make it out alive. So
I love that. That was awesome.
What are your feelings? Thanks for listening to my long TED Talk story.
No, I love it. You always have the best insight. So I love it. Let's see. How have I been coping? My husband and I tried to go, they just opened up this like religious freedom club at the university that I work at. And we went just to like see what it was all about. And it was kind of more like directed at like, I'm trying to think of what the name of the club actually was, but like finding your way. And like, if you're, it was Faith Transitioning Club. That's what it was. So like, if you're transitioning between faiths, or if you've left a faith, or if you've just joined a faith, like how to like transition. And so we went just to see, and it was not what we were expecting. It was basically just this guy, this 40, 50-year-old man just bitching about the church for 45 minutes, which was fine. He was very misogynistic and sexist a little bit still. I didn't really blame him just because of like where he came from, but we tried that. It wasn't for us, but I know that like stuff like that is really helpful for a lot of people. And I think in like a different setting, that might have been like really nice for us. Just having like a community of people who have gone through the same thing. And I will say that's one of the positives, I think, of living in the Utah bubble is there. I have come to know a lot of people who have left the church, and it's been very surprising for me the amount of people that I've connected with over the last year who have gone through similar things to me. But that's just been like such a good way to cope and get through it. We've also been traveling a lot and just experiencing the world as a non-Mormon. Like, we went to New York a couple months ago and had pizza and wine and like all these things that like the world experiences normally. And we just got to go and experience it, which was really fun. Let's see, I've been trying to like journal and stuff more, I guess, like writing down my thoughts and feelings just so I can go back and like see what my life was like during this transitional period. And it's been cool. I've been doing this for like the last couple years, and so it's been kind of nice to go back and read like my thoughts from 2 years ago when I was starting this journey and like where I was at and like how deeply I wanted to stay in. And like, it's just crazy to see like what all we've gone through. And then, yeah, I think educating myself, I've gotten a couple like books and stuff, that I've been reading. And then, there was this like interesting post that I saw, that had like a bunch of statistics from, I think it was from Harvard Law School, that they posted like what religions are increasing the most and which are declining the most. And the church was declining the most, and they have like the numbers to prove it. So that was like really validating for me, because I've heard that so many times that people are leaving the church at alarming rates, and I believed it, but I'm like, where are the numbers? Like, I want to see the numbers so I have like factual backing. But this was really cool to see that and to see like, it's crazy how many people are leaving, and that's just been validating for me as well. So yeah, oh my educating God. Myself.
Say the name, so. Say where you found it again, because I want to look it up, where you found
it. It was a study by, I think it was Harvard Law School. It might have been Stanford, but I'm pretty sure it was Harvard. I saw it as a Twitter thread, which I know that kind of like invalidates everything that I just said, but I'll find the link because it linked to like the actual study. So I'll send it to you, but it was like fascinating.
Wow. That makes me feel so good, because I do I do come to a place of acceptance about certain things. But I still have hopes. You can also have hope and come to a place of acceptance at the same time. And hope is different than optimism. Also a really good way to help combat a lot of internalized shame. I mentioned this before with Laban. I haven't read all of her works. And I think she's great for people that are from the dominant culture, which would be like white people, is Brené Brown. And she does a lot of studying shame, because that's kind of a lingering phenomenon from being a member of the church, whether you convert or don't. I love a ton of her works. Like I said, she is more ideal for people who are not of color, because she doesn't include cultural aspects that a lot of like indigenous people have or other things, but she has great nuggets for everybody. So those are my little two cents, another way to cope.
I love that. That's awesome.
Oh my God, we have less than a minute before this runs out. Should we close? We'll decide after when we're not recording. But we can close this little baby part, this little mini episode. The last one I did was pretty small too. We do like those little baby ones. Who do you want to close in the name of elder sister?
Let's close in the name of Post-Mormon Coaching Instagram page.
Yeah. Thank you so much for this topic. Whenever I laugh, I cough. This way I haven't heard my iconic laugh today, is there's a gross cough that follows.